And may the words of Scripture just proclaimed by all of us turn into beautiful melodies in each of our hearts. Please be seated. You can tell from the bulletin that we're celebrating a number of things. We're celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. Right at the top here, and then we're also celebrating In-Gathering Sunday. And then if you go to the back, we talk about the harvest in-gathering and the food drive. See a little picture there of the basket? And Jeff and I are going to talk about that in a minute, and we have a little prayer. It's called the Blue Box Prayer from the United Thank Offering of the Episcopal Church. It's kind of a neat little prayer. Almighty God, I give you praise for blessing me in many ways, creating me a grateful heart, and with this gift, a blessing start. Isn't that nice? Simple little prayer, kind of a poem. So, almost a doggerel. So having said that, I'm going to invite Jeff up here. Jeff Spaulding is our senior warden, so therefore, you know, the head of our parish council. And he and I are going to I'm going to sort of like ask him some questions. And this is sort of a dialogue. I've sprung this on poor Jeff. I told Jeff that if he could think about some thoughts about in-gathering and be prepared to talk about that. But then it dawned on me, you know, maybe I could kind of like do a little interview with Jeff. And
I haven't had that since my days as a police chief.
He's the one who's interviewing me, so now I'm doing the interviewing. See? And so we'll see what happens. This is not totally prepared. I mean, I've prepared some thoughts, of course, and questions, but I want to see what the Spirit inspires Jeff to do. So first of all, we talked about this as the in-gathering. Could you tell us a little bit about the history of in-gathering here at St. Paul's, Jeff? Yeah.
Well, I guess the only history I know about of in-gathering is here at St. Paul's, and it's a service that we do annually when we collect our pledges for the coming year, and it's kind of an opportunity for us to recognize and bless the incoming pledge. Obviously, the pledge is important to us from a nuts and bolts perspective because we have to have dollars and cents to keep the building open and to pay our very capable staff, but it also drives our mission and outreach efforts here at the church, too.
So how are we planning to do in-gathering this year? Usually people can sign pledge cards and so on and bring them in. So what are we...
Well, typically we would pass the basket and the church would be... Our congregation would be here and everyone would put their pledge cards in the basket and then the basket would be brought forward and it would be blessed here on the altar. Today, because of COVID... things are being done a little differently. We had to send out the pledge cards by mail, and those were in stamped envelopes to be returned, and those that have come back, about half of what we typically would expect to get, we've only received about half so far, the treasurer has received those, but we're still waiting for additional pledge cards. We suspect that they were mailed out early, people probably tucked them aside and didn't, and have not resurrected them. Maybe if they're watching this service, I will prompt them to do that. But so we will have a blessing more spiritual than physical today, I would hope, and just thank the Lord for the resources that He's given us to do our work here at St. Paul's, okay, as represented in our pledge.
Okay. So we celebrate this in-gathering. You know, this in-gathering Sunday, we call this in-gathering Sunday. I'm not particularly familiar with this tradition. Back west, I don't know if it's all that much of a tradition, even in the Episcopal Church back west. Certainly in my old Roman tradition, it was not a tradition. So I was studying a little bit about the history of in-gathering. And maybe you're aware in the Bible of the in-gathering feast being talked about?
No, not at all.
Well, there is actually. It's called the Feast of Booths, or Sukkot. The Jewish people talk about it. It's called the Feast of In-Gathering, and it's talked about, probably the book of Exodus is the main book it's talked about in. And it has to do, so far as I can tell, with the last fall harvest. and you're in gathering, you know, was your harvesting from that particular time. And I know in Israel, a lot of it had to do with harvesting olives and harvesting grapes. What are the plants that are harvested last year now in this particular time of this fall?
Well, we would typically call on Polly to answer that question,
Polly,
because she's our resident agriculturalist. But, you know, wheat and corn and the fall vegetables, the apples and pumpkins and squash and those sorts of things are the things that we typically think about as fall-related harvest here in this area.
Okay. And as we harvest those things, what does that help us to do?
Well, that provides the resources for the coming winter, which when things are dead and there's no ability for us to gather food at that time of the year, we gather in advance so that we have what we need when it's no longer available from the gardens.
So without that, it would be pretty tough.
Very tough.
Okay. So then, if you were to draw a lesson from that to fledging?
Well, that's certainly that's a tremendous analogy. Obviously, we need to gather the resources now so that we have them through the course of the year to do the things that we need to do to keep St. Paul's live and vital in our community.
Now, a lot of times people think about, when they think about giving to the church, for example, they think about giving to the church as from their excess. In other words, you know, if I'll take care of all my bills at home and I'll take care of my kids and my car and whatever, and when I get all that done, if I have some left over, I may give it to charity, I may give it to the church, and so on like that. So it's what we call giving out of your excess. What about giving out of your, out of what you need?
Well, that certainly tests your faith. And, you know, we've heard for, you know, my entire life, I've heard about the tithe, that some religions and some people in every religion tithe, where they give 10% of their total to the church. And that's certainly exemplary. I've never reached that particular goal myself, but it is something to strive for. In that everything that we have comes from the Lord, to give back part of what He has made available to us is certainly appropriate in the form of a pledge or a tithe, depending on how much you have and what your resources are. We do have an older congregation. We have a number of people that are retired and on fixed incomes, and we really don't know what the future holds. So you've got to put your faith in God that He will provide sufficient for you to live comfortably as you go forward.
And one of the things we really need is, I mean, we think of, we need food, we need shelter, we need those kinds of things, and even the church needs that, but what's spiritual nourishment?
Certainly, that's all part of it. I think we, when we're able to come to church, when we're able to be here as a community, that builds our spiritual, that helps me fill my spiritual needs. It's my place of solace when I'm during the hectic life that we all lead, regardless of where we are in our lives. It's always more hectic than it should be, needs to be. But when I'm here, I can kind of sit down, focus, center, and think about the spiritual side of who I am and the rest of the folks here in the pews. And it's very helpful to me, and that's why I come. But couldn't do that if the doors aren't open.
True. True. Very important part of it. The bishop, when we've been meeting, we were for a while during the COVID thing, the pre-clergy and the bishop and the chief wardens were meeting by way of Zoom. I think it was every week, and then it kind of went down to once a month, and now it's kind of every 2 weeks or whatever. It's been very, very nice, you know, getting to talk to each other and so on like that, and support one another and hear what's going on and share ideas and that kind of thing. But one of the things the bishop mentioned at some point, this is Bishop Sutton, our head bishop, or what we call him the ordinary of the diocese, he mentioned that he was asking staff at the cathedral to take a cut in salary, but he wasn't asking the lay people. The lay people there, course, you know, when you work in a church, you don't make, it's not like being the CEO of a great corporation, so you don't make tons of money to begin with. You're not in there for making money. And by lay people typically who work in the church, depending upon your position, but if you're like a parish administrator or something like that, you would not make what the clergy would make. And so they, therefore, financially would be more strapped than the clergy typically. And so he was asking not the lay people, but the clergy to take a cut. In other words, giving from their what they need to help the general effort. So it's not just that in this in-gathering we're asking people to consider, asking you to consider giving from your necessity, but we're asking all of us to consider giving from our necessity so that we all share this common burden, and maybe in that sense we can all lessen each other's burden and make things a little bit lighter. Jeff, we're also, so that's the in-gathering part of this, which is really fascinating. I wanted to mention, you know, Tuesday is Giving Tuesday, it's called, in the Episcopal Diocese. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got that email. Do you want to say anything about Giving Tuesday?
I don't recall the details from the email. I'm sure there's a website that, obviously Giving Tuesday is not just within the church. It's external to the church as well. It's just a day for folks to support those in need around the community by a unified giving effort. And I'm sure there are many different outlets that you could give to. Obviously, the diocese has their own plans for Giving Tuesday. And if you go on www.episcopalmaryland.org, I'm sure you can get the details.
Yeah, it's very nice. And I think Linda Sheckles, you know, our parish administrator, sent out the letter from the diocese the other day. So you should have that letter in your email. About I forget what it's called, Bishop's Drive, I think it's called. But anyway, so it's on Tuesday. Again, that's something else for you to consider, because we in the Episcopal Church, see, we have a kind of view of things. We don't just view each congregation as independent. Some churches are that way. They have more of a, their view of the church is more each is independent of the other. Episcopal Church is, we are united. The Anglican Communion throughout the world, and the Episcopal Church throughout the United States, and then in the diocese, each of these parishes is united with the diocese under the bishop. So we have more of a social, collective vision of things. It's more that way. And so this drive, then, is meant to support some of the essential ministries within the Episcopal Church as a whole, here in this diocese, and then those various ministries are connected with the same kinds of ministries throughout the church, nationally and even internationally. So things like supporting people who are discerning whether they are called to a vocation within the church. Things like Latina and Latino, Latinx we say today in English, Latinx ministry. Reparations for our black brothers and sisters and what all of that involves. And various educational ministries within the church. And there's a whole slew of different ministries. Climate Center here, which we have here, you know, which has all sorts of programs for youth, you know, this kind of thing. So, again, I recommend to you, if you got that email from the diocese, just came a couple of days ago, letter from the diocese, and I know Linda sent it out to all of you, Linda Sheckles. Check it out. There's a little thing you can click on, and it'll take you right to all of these ministries. And you may feel a particular attraction to one or another of these things. That, you know, and if you feel an attraction to something, that's a sign that the Lord is calling you, you know, to kind of give to Him. And that can be helpful there. Now, the last thing I want to mention, Jeff, is because that's in gathering. That's the harvest. And you said we get this, take this in, and that prepares us for them to get through the winter and
right.
To move on. Now, of course, we're getting prepared to move on into Christmas time, the coming of the Savior spiritually in our lives. Advent, the whole Advent season. So, did you want to make any connection between the same gathering and Christmas? And
I thought you'd give me a clue. You got me on that one. I had a nice connection between Thanksgiving and the end gathering.
Yeah, well, you know,
Christmas and the end gathering.
As a good friend of mine reminded me, we have to consider end gathering and Advent sequentially. In other words, harvest. The harvest is we've collected the food. Now we're getting ourselves ready. We can kind of have a basic sense of security, and we can then kind of more peacefully look forward to the coming of the Christ child at Christmas time. Now, some people aren't so fortunate as to be able to sit back and look forward peacefully because they haven't been able to collect enough security, you know, to go forward. So that's something we should keep in mind, I suppose, to help other people be able to celebrate the coming of the Lord, right, in their own.
Absolutely. And we're doing that here at St. Paul's. We have, we've adopted some families, and we're waiting for all of those gifts to arrive back here at the church so that we can get those to the folks in need. And we're also doing our Seafarers Ministry again this year. So we're very active in our outreach efforts here in helping those who are in need of that.
So, and if you want to add anything here to this. Again, I go back to sharing in Mary's pregnancy, the expectation, the yearning, the hopes. Sharing in that, and what are the things we end up, you know, of course, when Christ comes into the world for us, Christ has come, and Christ is coming again, and Christ is continually coming in our lives as the risen and resurrected and glorious Christ. And if things haven't turned out for us as we would have wished and hoped, they will turn out well. All will be well. Maybe not the way we think. God doesn't necessarily think the way we think. But all will be well. That's the message of Christmas. And even if we can't understand it, go with that flow, trust it, and you'll have a wonderful, wonderful Advent and Christmas. Thank you.
Amen.